plans to stay. If not, stay anyway. I'm sure there'll be enough food. So just make plans. A couple of things that I want to share, and before we begin in the lesson, and Sid reminded us that next week is for our seniors. We're going to honor our graduating seniors. And some of you don't know, Alyssa Johnson has been coming with us for some time, and so Alyssa is going to be recognized also next Sunday, A-L-Y-S-S-A Johnson. And so she'll be in next week's bulletin, but I thought maybe if you wanted to write her a card or something, encourage her, we'll be presenting her a Bible also next week. Also on Senior Sunday next week, all of the meat is going to be provided. So you don't have to worry about fixing any kind of meat for next Sunday. It's going to be taken care of. And so that part will be, if you just bring some sides and desserts, that'll be a little bit of a change. So you, as you're thinking about next week, I just wanted to give that to you. I forgot to say anything to Sid before he got up to make the announcements. My fault. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Proverbs chapter 18 and 19. We're going to talk about friendships this morning. And I don't know what you think of when you think about the word friend, and maybe you have this idea, maybe you have that word defined in your life. Maybe you stop and start contemplating those people who you label as friends in your life. And you start thinking about what are the characteristics of the friends in my life. And it's really, really important for us to grasp and understand this term and to understand the idea of friendships, because the influencing factor of our friends is great in our life. The very end of Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 24, he says, "A man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." A man who has too many friends. And sometimes I think we believe, how can you possibly have too many friends? And we think about that and think, man, we should have more and more and more friends. But the reality, when we really start thinking about friendships, and we're going to look at it in a minute, what is a friend? We'll answer those things. Maybe we should start contemplating and thinking about the friends that we have, or those that we label as friends. A man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend, or one who loves us, who is closer or sticks closer than a brother. Chapter 19, we'll read through the first seven verses. "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him?" Now, thinking about, as I've been reading through Proverbs again and again over the last couple of months, we'll keep reading those things, and as we learn and we study from these things, this whole idea of a friend. True friends, I believe, are providential. And as we look at this thing, and look at this passage, and as the proverb says, there is this idea of friendships. Who are our friends? Who are your friends? And what kind of influencing factor do they have on us in our life? What do we do with them? What do we talk about? What kind of influence back and forth do we have on each other? And I think friendships, true friendships, are providential. And we keep them in the context of what the Proverbs writer here is saying, and you look at all of those things and all of the errors of our life when we have too many friends, and I think he's listing those things. And so go back and read this passage again and again. But I want you to do something with me this morning. Go back to chapter, or to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I want to share with you a story this morning about King David and one of his friends. A friend in his life. And I don't know, maybe you remember this story and maybe you don't remember this story. But I really think that it focuses our attention from this proverb and it helps us understand and it grasps the idea of friendships. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 15, in the context, is about Absalom. And maybe you remember Absalom. He's one of David's sons. And if you'd go back a few chapters, we don't have time to read through these multiple chapters through here, but go back and read about Absalom. And Absalom was, it says, the most perfect man alive. Everything about him from his head to his toes is perfect. Everybody likes him. Everybody wants to be around him. He's someone that people are drawn to. And he has the right things to say. And he goes out and he puts himself out where the people can come up and visit with him. And he starts laying the foundation for him taking over the ruling of Israel from his father. And he says things to them like, well, what is your problem? What's going on in your life? And they'll share with him. And he'll say, well, if only you had a king that would listen to you, he would say these things. And he said, so you go back and you tell them to come and see me. And you talk, and I'll take care of you. I'll do those things. So people's hearts are getting to change. And they want to be with Absalom. And they want to be around Absalom. And so he decides one day he's going to be king. And there's a conspiracy that happens and they start planning the overtaking of the throne of David so that Absalom can sit on the throne. There's the context. And so we get to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we look at a few verses and you look at... As this big story begins to unfold, we start looking at what a friendship is all about. The first thing I want you to understand about friendship is this. Friendships encourage our life focus. Friendships will help us focus on the things that we're supposed to be about in this life. And so we get here and we start looking at it and David finds out the conspiracy that's going on and they say, David, if you don't get out quickly, Absalom's going to come in and he's going to kill you and he's going to take over and there's not going to be any hope left for Israel. And so David gets together all the people around him in the palace and all those people that are important and his valiant men and they sneak out at night and they begin to leave. And so that's where we are. We'll get down to verse 24, and it says, Now behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar came up until all the people had finished passing from the city. Now here are the priests. Here are those who are in the temple. Here are the ones who are not in the temple, the tabernacle. Here they are leading spiritually the people of God, and they recognize David as the appointed or the anointed king of Israel, and they get the Ark of the Covenant, and they sneak out of town with it also, and they set it down, and they're waiting. And they're going, David, we know who you are. We know that you are the king anointed. We know you're the one who God has called to lead his people. We're going with you. Wherever you go, wherever God's anointed goes, we're going to go as well. Because we know that God has approved of this, and this is what happens. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we were called to do. And David stops them. And he said, no, wait a minute. You don't understand. You don't understand your focus of your life. And I know that you want to be with me and help me, but I know that that ark doesn't belong out in the wilderness running and hiding. It belongs in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to take it back, and I want you to do the things that you need to do. Go back and lead the people spiritually just like you've been doing. For me, when I get where I'm going and we're running and we're hiding or we're fighting or whatever's going to come, if God is pleased with me, if God really has anointed me and is continuing to anoint me as king, then God will bring me back to the throne here in Jerusalem. That's what will happen. But if God is not happy with me, then God can take my life. He can take this kingdom away from me because it's not mine anyway, it's His. But whatever God sees fit to do, that's what's going to happen. And so here is the message that David delivers. But you look at these men that are following David, and you think, they're encouraging him. We know you're the anointed one. We want to go with you. Immediately, right after that, in verse 31, it says, someone, we don't know who, told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David began praying, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. And so here someone else comes up. We don't know who they are. And it's someone that has to know a little bit about what's going on, because this is one of David's top men, one of his counselors. And he is the one committing conspiracy to overturn him, to get him off the throne and Absalom on the throne. And so here's someone else coming to David and saying, I am your friend. I want to be with you. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to tell you some information that you may not want to know, but you need to know. And so David begins and says his prayer. Then look with me down in verse 32. And here's a verse. Passage of the part of this passage I want us to see. It happened as David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, if you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in time past. So I will now be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you there? So it shall be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, their two sons are with them there. Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send me everything that you hear. Now listen closely to verse 37. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom also came into Jerusalem. Now, here is a man that is referred to as David's friend. There's not a lot of times that people use this word friend. Jonathan, in recent years of his life, was his friend, the son of Saul. And he took care of David, and he loved David, but Jonathan is gone. And now we find this, that Absalom is overturning, is taking over the ruling of the country. But here is his friend, and he says, David, I'm going with you. I'm going to uproot my family or whatever's going on, and I'm going to take everyone and we're going to follow you because you are the king. You are the one anointed, and we're going to follow you. Wherever you go, we're going to go also. And David says, no, we can't do that. What I really need from you is to go back to Jerusalem and then you serve him, or at least pretend to serve him, and find out what's going on. And you can deliver that message through the priests and their sons, and they will get it to me, and we'll know what to do. And David has already prayed to God that he will thwart the plans of Ahithophel. And so, here's Hushai, and he's going back. He goes back. Now, you know what's going to happen if it's found out that he is working for David still. His life is not worth anything. He's going to be put to death. So he goes back and he meets with Absalom. But think about the words that all of these people, the priests, this mystery person, especially Hushai, what have they said? You, David, you are the anointed one. You are the king of Israel. You are the one who God said is to lead this country. You are the one God has put in place to do this, and we're going to follow you. David, whatever you do, don't forget you are the anointed one. Don't forget that God put you in power. Don't forget that you are God's leader, and God is going to be with you. They're encouraging him, as friends should. We should keep that attention, that focus on what's going on in our friend's life. We should encourage that, and each and every one of these people have done that. Friends keep us focused. whatever our job is. If you are a teacher, our friends keep us focused by reminding us as teachers what our job is. Our job is to do what? It's to teach children. It's to educate them. It's to bring them up and to nurture them in a knowledge that's usable in their life. And our friends will keep us focused on those things and say, don't lose sight of what you're doing. You're here for the children. And friends will do that for friends. And if your friends are police officers, we'll stop those friends of ours that are police officers and we'll help focus them on their job. You're here to do what? To protect and to serve. We used to have that written on the sides of police cars, and some still do, but people forget those things. And so, as friends, we remind our friends in whatever profession that they are, what they're about. And we help them stay focused on the things that's going on in the life that they've made a commitment to. David, you are king. You are the anointed of God. Don't lose focus on who you are. True friends help keep us focused. True friends make lifetime commitments. Again, here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, look at verse 15 through 17 with me. Then Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. Now it came about when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." And Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" Even Absalom knew what friends are supposed to be about. And here he looked at someone that he knew was a friend of his father. He knew the relationship they had. Now, maybe he didn't fully understand the depth of that friendship was, but he knew that this friendship, this relationship that Hushai had with David was different than any other friendship or any other relationship that he knew about. And he said, "Now, wait a minute. Why are you here? Why aren't you with your friend? Why aren't you with that one that you've committed your life to? Why aren't you with that one who you're supposed to help keep focused on everything that he's about? Why aren't you with him?" And he says, "No, I came because whoever the king is, I'm supposed to serve." And so he starts trying to convince Absalom to listen to him. And Absalom, I'm sure at this point, is scratching his head and going, "I don't know if I can trust you or not, because I've seen how you were with my father, and I believe that you're with my father. I believe that you've taken care of him. I've watched my entire life of y'all's friendship, and I noticed some things about it, and I'm not sure I can trust you." But you know, he's got to be thinking, what if I had his friendship? What if I had someone in my life that was like what they had? And so he's wondering, maybe I can have that. Maybe Hushai will be my friend. Maybe I can depend on him like my father did. Maybe at some point we can develop that same kind of friendship. And so he begins his thinking. I don't know. Can we do it? And then you start looking at Absalom and you look at all of the friends that he's made. All those people that he set out there and he's visited with, and they've come and they patted him on the back and say, "What a great king you're going to be, and we'll love you and we're going to follow you." And all these other Ahithophel, the counselors that have come with him, and all the other religious leaders and all the other military leaders, and all of them are coming to Absalom and saying, "We're your friend and we want what's best for you and we want to follow you and we want to be with you." And he's eating all of that stuff up, but he knows he doesn't have a friend with any of them. Does he really trust them? I don't think so. Even Absalom, though, understood what the word friend meant. Again, not that he loved it or truly believed in it, but he wanted it. So that guides us, kind of helps us get to this last point, the last few minutes we have together. True friends will always keep God at the center of our relationship. True friends will always focus on God at the core of everything that we are and what we're about. If our friends aren't focused on God, then anything is okay. But if God is at the center and the core, it changes who we are and how we treat one another. In chapter 16, there in verse 23, the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of God. So all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by David was regarded by both David and Absalom. It's interesting that David and Absalom brought Ahithophel into their life because they thought he was one who was focused on God. They thought that his advice was one that was centered around what God wanted. And the reality was, Ahithophel was after himself. He wanted to please himself. He wanted the money. He wanted the prestige. He wanted whatever was going to get him what he wanted out of it. But he got both of them to kind of believe who he was. And it didn't work out. Now, Absalom says, "All right, Ahithophel, what do you think I should do?" And he comes in and he said, "King, here's what you should do. You stay here and you send me. Allow me to take the army and go out and I will find David and I will defeat David. I will bring him back or I'll put him to death, and that will concrete your kingship in this country. It will plant you, firmly plant you as the king, and all the peoples will be brought back together and will love you and everyone will follow you. Let me do this for you." And you think, okay, go do it. But he's still worried. Absalom is looking and he's going, "Well, if I give you control over the army and you go defeat David, what are you going to do when you come back with the army?" You know that's got to be in his mind. What are you going to do with that army? What are you going to do to me? Are you actually going to follow me and listen to me? Am I going to be the king? Are you going to kind of try to come in here with another kind of conspiracy? Maybe that was it all along. You get rid of David, I help you do that, then you can get rid of... I don't know what's going through Absalom's mind, but I know this. He says in chapter 17, verse 5, Absalom said, "Let's call Hushai and let us hear what he has to say." Now, why would he bring him back in? Why would he bring David's friend back in for advice on what he should do? Ahithophel, his greatest counselor, has just told him, "Let me go and take care of this and you will be king forever." Well, I get it, but let's bring this other man back in. And so he asks for Hushai, and he comes in and he says, "So, what do you think?" And he says in verse 7, Hushai says to Absalom, This time the advice of Ahithophel has not any good. The advice he's given you is not good. And so Absalom says, "Well, what do you mean it's not any good? Explain to me. Tell me why it's not any good." He said, "Here's why it's not any good. You know how your father is. You know how a great warrior he has always been. And the men with him, they've been fighters and they've been warriors their whole lives." He's reminding him of history, how many victories David has been given. "And if you send him out, what's going to happen? What needs to happen is you need to take the army and lead them yourself out against your king, against David, your father. And if you defeat your father, if you defeat David and you come back, now then everyone will truly follow you." Huh. That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? I'm the one who's done it. I'm the one. And he starts playing on his emotions. And he should have known, this is not my friend. He was my father's friend. My father who I wish harm to. My father that I want dead. My father that I'll do anything to conquer and defeat so I can sit on the throne that is rightfully his. It's not mine. Why should I listen? But he did. And he did because of David's prayer when he prayed to the Lord, whatever you do, make Ahithophel's advice seem as foolishness. And so Hushai does that very thing to Absalom. He confuses this idea of what a friend really is. And Absalom is so desperately wanting a friend that he's looking and going, I want this friendship. I want this, what he has to offer me. And I want to be just like my father was with him. And I want a deep relationship like that. And this is what he's focused on. Hushai's counsel is better than Ahithophel's. And it changes the history for Absalom and for David. What did Hushai do from the beginning with David? You are the king, David. You are God's anointed. Don't forget who you are. And so as we recognize, friends will lead us and they will help us stay focused on who we are and what we're about in this world. Do you have friends in your life that are helping you be established in what you're supposed to be about? When you look at your friends, are they encouraging you to stay focused on the job at hand? Are they encouraging you to be who you have chosen to be and want to be? Have your friends made a commitment to you? And you absolutely know that. Are they those that are going to encourage you and they're always going to be by your side no matter what anyone else does, no matter what anyone else says about you? Are your friends going to be there and are they going to strengthen and encourage you? Are they going to make the difference in your life? And more importantly than anything, are your friends going to focus your relationship on God? You are God's anointed. How many times do your friends say that to you? You realize that God has anointed you. Maybe not to be the king, but He's anointed us to be His children. Children of inheritance. Maybe we don't belong on the throne because only God belongs on the throne, but we are His children, children of inheritance, children that He loves and He wants to be with, and He wants us forever to be with Him. Are your friends helping you focus on that relationship? And so maybe it would be a good exercise if each one of us began thinking about our friends. Who are your friends? Who are those ones that you spend the most amount of time with? Do they help you stay focused in this life? Grounded in the things that you're about? The things that you should be about? Dear, your friends, have they made a commitment? Do you know that I can trust them with the deepest, darkest secrets in my life? Can you do that? Most important about your friends is this. Do they help you stay grounded in your relationship with God? What's the most important thing about your friends in your life? Do they do that? And so maybe you should start jotting down some of your friends' names and asking those questions. What do they do for me? Do they help me stay focused? Do we have a committed relationship with each other? Is God at the center of our relationship because of them? That's not what I want you to get this morning. That would be a good practice for us to do. But here's what I want. If you only get one thing this morning, this is all I want you to get this morning. One very simple question for you today. What kind of friend are you? What is the focus of you and your friendships? What do you do for those people you call friend? If we're not helping our friends stay focused, if we're not willing to make a commitment to them, and if we're not willing to put God at the center and the very core of that relationship, what do we have to offer? What kind of friend are you? We are God's anointed. What kind of friend are we to those around us? We have that option. We have power in us because of God to make a difference in the people's lives around us. What are we choosing to do? if you're not that kind of friend, then I'd challenge you this morning to make yourself that kind of friend, to encourage yourself, to be constantly evaluating how am I in my friendships, what am I focused on with them, what's the most important thing, what are the conversations that we have, and do we always depend upon God to help us to make those decisions in our life? It's really important. We need to realize that we are God's children and anointed, and we have the power to make a difference because of Him. In class this morning, we talked about the Lord in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of this world." Because of Him and what He's done for us, we live that life and that relationship. So if you haven't begun that relationship, there's no reason to not begin it today. But if you're struggling with something, I challenge you right where you are to make a commitment to be the kind of friend that He's called you to be, the kind of friend He's been to us and to you. To make that commitment. But if you need some encouragement this morning, if you want us to stop and pray with you for you, we can do that. But if you want to name Him the Lord of your life and be immersed into Him to receive all those blessings, to be anointed by God, then we can do that today. So if there's anything we can do for you, we ask you to come right now while we stand and we sing together. As I am.